This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and Earth Day is this Saturday. And joining us now to discuss Earth Day and continue initiatives to protect the environment are Green Umbrella Regional Sustainable Alliance Executive Director Kristen Weiss, Trezana Staples, Executive Director of Gabriel's Place, and Dr. Corey Christopher, Director of Conservation and Stewardship at the Cincinnati Nature Center. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Kristen, Corey, and Trezana, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
So the first Earth Day was held, it's hard to believe, 1970. So
1970.
We're closing in on 50 years. Kristen, what kind of impact do you think Earth Day's had across the years?
Well, 1970 was really the birth of the modern environmental movement. That first Earth Day, 2 million people participated coast to coast. And later that same year was when the US EPA was created, and that same year the Clean Air and Clean Water Acts passed. So it was a huge year for the environment.
So a lot came out of that first Earth Day. How much progress has the Cincinnati area made in terms of sustainability?
We are making progress. We at Green Umbrella are working to make Greater Cincinnati a top 10 metro area for environmental sustainability by 2020, so by the 50th anniversary of Earth Day. And the good news is that we are starting to make progress. We have over 100,000 acres of protected green space. We've seen a 55% increase in farmers markets in just the last 3 years. We have $191 million of slated funding for projects that will create walkable and bike-friendly communities.
Corey, how do you think Cincinnati is doing in terms of this issue?
You know, I think we are really at the cutting edge of a lot of these sort of green city initiatives. I mean, in particular, you know, as the director of the Center for Conservation, one of the things that we're doing is trying to say, okay, for all of these conservation practitioners in the region, how do we pull people together to work in concert to solve some of these conservation issues? How do we share resources? How do we lean on each other for those things that we need instead of working in our own little bubbles? And so much like Green Umbrella's done to gather conservation organizations together, we're focused on a lot of those, the practitioners, the stewards of the land. So I think we're getting there. And the fact that it seems to me like sustainability has become is a word that everybody kind of knows what it means. If they don't know exactly what it means, they at least have heard of it. And so I think it's just knowing that people out on the streets are using the word and thinking about it, I think, is a huge deal.
Trezana, tell us about Gabriel's Place. I want to know all about this organization. How did that get started?
Well, Gabriel's Place was birthed in, well, the thought of Gabriel's Place in 2008. And it was an initiative of the Episcopal Diocese of Southern Ohio and the Avondale Community Council. The property in which we reside in belongs to the Church Foundation of the Episcopal Diocese, and the bishop promised never to leave the presence of Avondale. And so with the organizations together, along with Cincinnati Zoo and Children's Hospital and other organizations in Avondale, they came together and created Gabriel's Place. Gabriel's Place, believe it or not, the mission is to provide a peaceful, spiritually nurturing place for the residents of Avondale to gather. However, that has been done through food, because half of the brains of the birth of Gabriel's Place went to Growing Power in Wisconsin and visited Will Allen's urban farm and wanted to bring that same concept to Avondale. So they put both ideas together and created Gabriel's Place.
So local food's the issue that you're dealing
yes.
with at Gabriel's Place.
Yes. Well, local food, health, and wellness, and peace, and all the other good stuff, mind, body, and spirit.
Kristen, what's the connection between local food and the environment? Because I know that's one of your recommendations for things that you can do
that are
environmental in nature. So,
right. One of our 2020 goals is to double the production and consumption of locally grown food. And so we know that eating local is a great way to support local farmers, to improve your own health, and to improve our local economy too. So if just 10% of the regional population shifted just 10% of their food budgets to locally grown food, that would mean an infusion of $56 million into the local economy.
Any idea how much food waste goes on? Do you keep track of that?
Sure. In the U.S., about 40% of food is wasted. And for an average household, that's about $1,500 of food waste a year.
And that has a big environmental impact.
It has a big environmental impact because that food is going to the landfill. That's good food that can be used to feed hungry people, feed hungry animals, be composted, all before going to the landfill.
Now, Corey, you mentioned getting together with other conservation agencies. How much of that goes on locally? How much does CNC reach out to other organizations?
So the Nature Center we just started the Center for Conservation really this year. We opened up the Grosbeck Lodge, which has now become the center. And we are beginning to reach out to any conservation organization in the region that has some expertise in land stewardship and land management, but then also looking at partnerships that we wouldn't have expected before. So, for example, we have a great partnership with Graders and La Rosa's. We actually hand out native seed packets through Graders and La Rosa's. They can pick those up exclusively at those two companies. And so even though we do focus a lot on the sort of practitioner side of conservation, we're also looking for schools or for businesses who want to partner with us to find sometimes just small ways of promoting greener ways of living, like planting native plants.
Native plants, tell me about the environmental impact that has.
So, you know, there are really two kinds of plants. In this area, we have our native plants, those things that evolved here. They're adapted to our climate, and they have a niche. They have evolved a niche into these systems, our native systems in our area. Then you have exotic plants that were brought in from Asia, South America, even the Western U.S. And those exotic plants sometimes are okay. You know, sometimes they're not going to do anything if you plant them in your yard, but other times they take over, they form monocultures, things like the bush honeysuckles or the celandine, lesser celandine. And the environmental impact of that is huge because what happens is they reduce both the diversity of native wildflowers and other native plants, but then that has subsequent impacts on native pollinators. And so when we begin losing pollinators, you know, we begin losing food. So planting invasive plants or having invasive plants in your yard can actually have an impact on the food that we're eating. And so for me, that's why I just promote this idea of planting native. If you're going to put something in your yard, do some homework and just look for those species that are from this region that are going to contribute to the system that they're in instead of potentially taking away from it by taking over.
And when you're talking about pollinators, you're talking about bees?
Bees, butterflies, even things like hummingbirds, beetles. There's a variety of pollinators out there, and they all rely on the plants that evolved here. And so even though something has flowers on it, doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be good for the pollinators in your yard.
What are some of the plants and flowers that are good for pollinators?
So the ones that we give away in our seed packets are ones that, honestly, are some of my favorites. So the milkweeds you can never go wrong with.
Big one for monarch butterflies.
A huge one. Absolutely critical for monarch butterflies, but also other pollinators will go to them as well. We have purple coneflower, black-eyed Susan, Joe Pye weed. A lot of these are available at almost every nursery that you go to. The bad news is that not every nursery or every big box store carries natives. Most might carry one or two. We don't have a lot of companies in the area that are selling exclusively native plants. And so it does mean asking questions, doing some homework, and figuring out what, before you put it in your yard, figure out where it came from and whether it's native or not.
Trizanna, you practiced environmental law before you started with Gabriel's Place. What attracted you to go to work with Gabriel's Place?
Well, I'm originally from Cincinnati, and I had moved away for quite some time, and I was looking to come back home. And it just so happens, during my transition to come back home, Gabriel's Place position was open, and I applied for it. And it was just in sync with everything that I do.
Oh, so it was a good opportunity to come
home. A great
home.
Opportunity, yeah. Because when I left Cincinnati, it was really a desert completely. There was nothing about environment. I never heard, we talked about the history of Earth Day, but in the Black community, I did not hear or know about Earth Day until I moved to Nashville, which was a more multicultural city, and it was a big celebration of Earth Day. And that was back in 1999. And I got involved because in our community, no one else was being involved. And it was a health issue and how important health is in terms of diabetes and high blood pressure and the food that's available in our community and the food that we eat and how directly connected that is to the earth and preserving and conserving and being just sustainable and interconnected interconnected with everything. So health was number one for me that started me wanting to know more and learn more to get better and then to share that information with the community.
So what do you see as the biggest need for your clients?
The biggest need for our clients?
Access to fresh fruits.
Access to fresh foods, access to how to prepare those foods, and access to how to grow simple things at home.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join us, you can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Do any of you have programs that go into the grade schools to teach about sustainability? Corey?
We have school programs, and we actually have some teacher development programs where we're teaching teachers who can then teach their students on their own campus. So instead of field trips coming to us, we have programs where we're helping teachers learn how to teach the same types of concepts on their own school grounds.
Mm-hmm. Kristen, does Green Alliance do anything with the schools?
Many of our member organizations do. I think what is so unique and special about our local environmental community is who is participating. It's schools and universities, and large and small businesses, nonprofits, local government, all realizing that it's going to take all of us, sharing these goals to really drive progress on the health of our environment.
You mentioned that Cincinnati's been on a roll. What does the area need to do to keep that going?
Well, we have some ambitious goals set for 2020 that are our targets. So our work is done through action teams that focus on key areas of impact to our region: local food, green space, energy, waste reduction, transportation, watershed. I think that's it. But, you know, we're already starting to see the national recognition come in. You know, Cincinnati, Greater Cincinnati's already been ranked top 10. So we're talking about the top 10 metro area for environmental sustainability. We've already been ranked top 10 for our parks, for our nature centers, like Cincinnati Nature Center, for our growth in bike commuting, for our local food, for a number of things. And so... we're making progress, and the national recognition is starting to come in, too.
Now, Trizanna's organization, Gabriel's Place, they're part of the Green Umbrella, right?
Yep, they're great members.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How many members do you have?
We have about 350 members in our alliance.
Yeah. And a lot of collaborating goes on among all those different members as to how to work.
Yeah. We've learned that through this collaboration, we can go faster and further together by not working in silos, by not duplicating efforts, by sharing these goals that are ambitious. We can actually go faster and further together.
Mm-hmm. Corey, what do you think Cincinnati needs to do to keep this momentum going and keep heading in the right direction?
I mean, I definitely have my biases towards the native plants. I think for Cincinnati, what I'm really excited about is that I've seen an increase in the number of either stores or farmers markets or places offering greener options for people. It's helping people make their own decisions. So I love it when we're able to educate people and then they can go figure out for themselves what the best option for their needs are. And I think there are more organizations doing that. So I would just encourage, in particular, nurseries and other stores to really start thinking about this native plant concept. But that also includes even native foraging things. Plants like blackberry, for example, that you can plant in your backyard. Pretty simple. It's native. Provides some fresh fruits. And so just seeing the activity around learning about this, the festivals, it seems to me that it's not a buzzword anymore to talk about sustainability, that everybody, it's sort of on everyone's radar. So I think if we can keep up that momentum and keep supporting our local conservation organizations, then I think we're in a pretty good place.
513-419-7100, and Jay joins us now. Hi, Jay.
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Thanks for taking my call. I work at Fairview Clifton German Language School. I'm part of the Gardening and Sustainability Program. As a matter of fact, I'm out, have a meeting at 2 o'clock here in a few minutes. I also work with Mill Creek. I'm just doing some work with them. I've taught hydroponics, tissue culture, all that stuff. I grow everything. You can find me on Facebook at DocBlack.com, Black without the C. I really want to work with the Avondale community. Anybody else that want to work with me, I can teach pretty much any growing anything, all kinds of sustainability programs. I'm working with. I'm sorry, I'm kind of nervous.
That's okay, Jay. So you're saying that it's a good idea to reach kids with these programs on growing.
That's my main focus right now.
Yeah.
So I want to work with you guys if it's possible. I'm a retired farmer. My farm was a Heavenly Harvest Farm. It's all over YouTube. I've got like 9 million views. And I want to teach all kind of sustainability programs to the young people in Cincinnati. And I'm looking for avenues for that.
Okay, Jay, thank you for the call. And Krista, how important is it for people to have that attitude, working with kids, teach them about sustainability, teach them about growing their own food?
It's wonderful. I mean, it's so important for us to be able to grow the next generation of environmental stewards. You know, many kids these days live an indoor sedentary life, mm-hmm. and getting them outdoors and doing the skill building of growing your own food, cooking your own food, it is so important.
Trisana, mm-hmm. what do you think?
We are always looking for persons in our community to come and facilitate workshops. We have our wellness workshops that's around our marketplace. So we're open. So Jay, give us a call at 513-221-2306, or you can send me an email at executivedirector@gabrielsplace.org.
Okay. Again, 513-419-7100. Bill in Madisonville joins us. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, thank you. Go right ahead.
I just wanted to follow up on what Corey was saying earlier. I think that I didn't move to Cincinnati until 1988, but I think there has been a lot of progress made since Earth Day in 1970, but I think probably the key area where we've actually fallen backward is the growing invasion of invasive plants, especially the bush honeysuckle. And I think where that's particularly harmful is in the public parks, especially the parks run by the neighborhood parks for the Cincinnati, they're run by the Cincinnati Park Board. And many of them are just totally impassable. You can't really hike through them anymore because they're so thick with bush honeysuckle. And I just, one more thought about that was that, talking to some old timers that grew up in Avondale in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and they talk about how the kids just hung out in the woods all the time and they walked up and down the hills and that kind of stuff. But of course, you really can't do that now in the woods so much because they're almost impassable because of the bush honeysuckle. So I just was curious if Corey could talk a little bit about some of the good work that's done here. I know Great Parks of Hamilton County has a very successful program, and they've eradicated the honeysuckle in hundreds of acres. And it's like for him to talk a little bit about that and kind of where that progress is and what we kind of need to do to take that to the next level.
Yeah, Great Parks certainly has done a phenomenal job with removing honeysuckle. And I will pat myself on the back, not myself, but the Nature Center. We've also got at the Sensei Nature Center a very intense honeysuckle removal effort, staffed by lots of volunteers. And it, really what it's going to take is to continue the effort. A lot of people ask me, why are we bother? They think, you know, is this a sort of a lost cause? It is not. It does mean getting it as early as you can find it, getting rid of it, and telling your neighbors to do the same. I mean, honeysuckle in particular is dispersed by birds. So birds eat the fruit, they fly away, they disperse the seeds. And so if your neighbor has a stand of honeysuckle in their yard and you've just removed all the honeysuckle from yours, in a few months, it's probably going to come back into your yard. So it is going to take, like I said before, sort of a concerted effort. All of us are going to agree to remove this plant. But the thing I have to sort of, I always want to be fair, it's fairly time intensive. It's not easy work. It can be kind of expensive. And so sometimes it means prioritizing which areas we remove honeysuckle from. But the key, I think, is just going to be making sure that we're all on the same page. And if your neighbors don't understand why it's important to remove invasives, inform them, you know, tell them why it's important and make sure that you're all working together.
In the meantime, plant those native plants, right?
Mm-hmm. In the meantime, plant those natives.
Oh, Kristen and Corey and Trezano, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. Green Umbrella Regional Sustainable Alliance Executive Director Kristen Weiss, Trezana Staples, Executive Director of Gabriel's Place, and Dr. Corey Christopher, Director of Conservation and Stewardship at the Cincinnati Nature Center.